The following episode of The Listening Room originally aired on KGVM Bozeman on Wednesday, July 8th, 2026 at 10 a.m.
Once I had it figured out, once I had it all. Money, weed, and women, pills and alcohol. And I took my time to waste it. I was wasted, young and pale. Passed out in the bathroom at the bottom of the wheel. Well, I took myself and what I had. I took enough to know. Your pack just drags you down. If you can't learn to let things go. And I took my time right out of mine. And I don't care if I feel coughing on the corner at the bottom of the wheel. Falling down, a lost man, fell and lost my heart. Up to the wrong damn woman, and she tore it all apart. And I took my chance with life, but there's no way one can tell until you're crying every morning at the bottom of the well. My best foot's forward, and that's all that you can do. Come into the new day, work till my hands swell. Wait out in the water at the bottom of a well.
Good morning. Welcome to the listening room. This is KGVM Bozeman 95.9. Very, very, very special day today. We have Kellen here from the band Fruition, which is super exciting. I feel like you guys are probably the biggest people, or definitely the biggest people who have ever come on the show. So we're honored to have you. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing in Bozeman, Montana.
What am I doing in Bozeman, Montana? I'm enjoying the Grand Continental Breakfast at the Belgrade Quality Inn.
That sounds really lovely.
I had waffles and coffee.
Did you have to make the waffles yourself?
Oh, yeah,
in
the little thing.
Machine?
Yeah. It was very satisfying. Mm-hmm.
Did they have the pancake printer?
No pancake printer.
You know those?
I'm afraid. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's the original 3D printer.
It is. They don't freak me out at all.
Yeah, everything's fine in there. You don't want to see what goes on behind closed doors.
No.
No one wants to know how the pancake gets made. Besides that, a very pleasant and silent Uber ride through the countryside to downtown Bozeman here to come into this awesome studio. I was telling you, Loren. I'm living my dream, kind of, in the sense that I get to make a living off of playing music and making art. But really my dream is to have a radio show in a sweet little underground spot like KGVM.
It's totally possible.
Yeah, I think I'm going to move to Bozeman.
just to compete with us.
Yeah.
You should just be part of our community radio.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Not to compete. No, no. Join the team.
Not come to on open now. Your own station. We would be honored to have you.
Sorry, I didn't really answer your question. I'm here playing a show at the Pine Creek Lodge tonight with my band Fruition.
Which is awesome. Probably the coolest venue in Montana next to Home Ranch Bottoms. Those are my two favorites.
Where's Home Ranch Bottoms?
Up way north in Polebridge, Montana, which is like basically 30 minutes from the Canadian border.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of great venues in Montana, so it's hard to pick two or one, but those are the best for like outdoor venues that I've been to so far. And for bigger stages.
Right, yeah. Pine Creek isn't huge.
Yeah, yeah. But it still hosts really big names and really small names, which is cool.
Totally.
So you want to move to Bozeman. That's awesome. Where would you be moving from?
I currently reside in Fort Greene, which is a neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
I lived in Portland, Oregon for 17 years before that, and that's where the band formed. And yes. Where we all lived for a long time. And I grew up in Southern California for the first 19 years.
So how did it, why did you move from Portland to New York?
We all, Fruition being we all kind of started moving toward where we were being called to go, whether it was for family reasons or just like soul searching reasons. We kind of all lived together in Portland for a long time and then slowly dispersed. I think I might have been the last one to leave. I moved to New York I had been to New York on tour a few times with the band. And whilst there, I was like, wow, this is, you know, the greatest city in the world.
The Big Apple.
It's the Big Apple, baby.
I wanted to be a part of it.
I wanted to be a part of that constant thrum of humanity that happens there.
Like the heartbeat of America.
Truly.
Yeah.
And the years go by and I met a woman who had New York roots and we began to date and she lived with me in Portland for a while. And then she's like, let's move back to New York. And I said, hell yeah, let's do it.
It's always a woman.
It's always
Are you guys still together?
Woman. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep, about 6 years now.
So you've been in New York for a while.
I've been in New York for 3 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How long has the band been together?
The band officially formed in 2008.
Okay.
Which was a very long time ago.
Yeah, that's almost 10 years ago. It doesn't feel like 10 years ago.
That's almost 20 years ago, actually. But it sometimes feels like 10. I know time.
The thing about being live is you can't cut things out. You know, it's the morning, right?
It's 10 a.m. It's basically sunrise right now for me, too. But
it feels like only 10 years ago. I still feel like I'm not 20 years past 2008, but I am.
I truly have that same phenomenon happen to me on the daily. I think also that the pandemic kind of like really messed up our sense of linear time. And also just as we get older, like, keeping track of years in the traditional sense that we thought we were doing when we were younger doesn't make sense anymore. Like time goes very fast and all of a sudden it's 2026 and we're mistaking 20s as 10s and the math just doesn't math, you know?
Yeah. I think I never thought it would get past like 2020.
Right. That was supposed to be the apocalypse. Yeah, and maybe exactly. It was. Maybe
in
it was.
2012, like the world was supposed to end then too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, you've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And how does it work when you guys are all living in different places?
Well, it works because we've been doing it a long time. And so we know each other pretty well. We know the flow of tour pretty well. We know the songs really well. And we just book the tours or the one-off festivals or the weekend things. And then we all fly to where we meet up with the van and drive to the thing.
So you don't practice and like have rehearsals aside from the tour?
Not really. Wow. No, unless we're writing new material or we are getting ready to record, or if we haven't been on the road for, you know, 3 or 4 months, whatever.
Yeah.
Then we'll set aside a day to rehearse and kind of get our chops back up. And
where are you all coming from? Like, you're from New York.
New York. Obviously. We have Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Burlington, and Seattle.
Vermont. Burlington, Vermont. Uh-huh. Who lives there?
Jeff Leonard, the bass player.
Shout out Jeff Leonard.
Shout out Jeff.
Burlington's like one of my favorite places I ever lived.
You live there?
Yeah, I used to live there. Such a cool place.
You know, I feel like there's a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? Like a sister connection to Burlington, to where we are now.
Yeah, people say that a lot. I've kind of cycled through a lot of the mountain towns. Like, used to live in Boulder, used to live in Burlington, now here. And people always are like, oh, it's the same. I find that they're all a little, like, Burlington definitely has more of an eclectic funk thing going on than Bozeman.
Oh, for sure.
I would say it's closer to, like, Missoula vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Asheville, you know?
Totally,
yeah. Even Portland.
Yeah.
When I first moved to Bozeman, I thought that was going to be here, but...
When was that?
2024. So not that long ago. And it's changed a lot. Yeah. But Bozeman definitely has more, like, cowboy roots.
Yeah.
And that's the Wild West.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And then Missoula feels a lot more like Pacific Northwest. And there's
just a ton of money here.
Yes. And that's definitely not the case with Burlington. Uh-huh. I mean, it is. Like, there's money there, but it doesn't feel like that when you're walking on the streets and stuff.
And just
it's a little bit more grungy.
That being said, if there is anyone walking down the streets in Bozeman with a ton of money, stop on by KGVM Studios and we'll help you out.
We're always taking donations.
We're always taking donations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's your donation that keep us afloat.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for doing my job for me. I'm supposed to be saying that all the time and I always forget.
I said it for my own selfish purposes.
Well, you should also be spending your money at Pine Creek tonight.
No doubt. Yeah, you should be spending your heart. Listen, if you're a billionaire and you're walking around Bozeman, we're going to help you become a millionaire tonight, folks. Come on down to the Pine Creek Lodge.
We're going to help you lose all your money.
Yeah.
Do you guys have an opener?
Do we have an opener? Yes, I think tonight, tonight we start our run with the Koffis Brothers. Who is a great band from California.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
They're super, super sweet. We really got to know them last year. We played a series of shows in Denver. It was Fruition and John Craigie.
Love John Craigie.
And then the Koffis Bros were kind of John's band.
Oh,
and so we kind of like traded off. One night we headlined, one night John headlined. And both nights it ended up being like a super band experience because we're all, you know, fast friends and have similar stage setups as far as where the instruments and stuff go. And it's kind of just a similar sonic aesthetic as far as like hitting that Americana and folk and just like rocking out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What stage was that on?
That was the Ogden in Denver.
Love the Ogden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Denver has great venues.
Yeah, they have no shortage.
No shortage. And you can find good and bad, but they're there.
we've played all of the good and bad.
Yeah, well,
over the last 18 years.
I was just listening to your Mission Ballroom set.
Good.
Which, did you like that stage? I mean, it's a huge room.
Yeah.
Was that fun?
Yeah, the Mission is sick.
Yeah, it is.
It's, well, and especially, it's especially sick. I'm feeling very eloquent in my vocab, obviously. It's especially sick.
We love it.
It's my SoCal. It's a pretty new, and that's reflected in like the quality of the green rooms and the production and the gear that they have. It's also like built by music forward and musician forward folks. And so there's just a lot of thoughtfulness that goes into the layout and the onstage and offstage. And, yeah, and they made the stands like kind of like Red Rocks-esque.
I know, almost. It's kind of like an amphitheater vibe.
Yeah, it's like an indoor amphitheater. Yeah. And it also like has, which I've never actually seen, but it has the ability to move the stage forward and back to make the room smaller or bigger.
Oh, I didn't know that.
To like, depending on how many tickets you
can or so want it always to feels sell. Full.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And speaking of Red Rocks, you played Red Rocks.
We've done the Rocks a few times.
A few times?
Yeah.
When was the first time?
The first time they... blur together a little bit because I think we've done it three or four times now. We've always been a support act, which I'm very thankful for. The first time I think we did it with Green Sky and Yonder Mountain.
Okay.
Which, if you don't know, Green Sky Bluegrass and Yonder Mountain String Band, those are the...
I've heard of Yonder Mountain. You guys all go through the Telluride Bluegrass Fest, right?
We have been through, yeah.
So is that where you kind of like got connected with all these people, or just from the scene?
Just from the scene. We kind of very early on met the Green Sky dudes and began touring in support of them. They're kind of a really popular jam oriented bluegrass outfit out of Michigan. And then, yeah, we just kind of early on in our career got kind of taken in by the bluegrass community and like the jamgrass community.
Were you happy about that? Or is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing to have support.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
A really good thing to have bands that are bigger than you help make you bigger.
Totally. Yeah. And it must feel really good to...
It feels good.
To have them as kind of like the arm bringing you in.
Yeah. And it feels good to like, when, especially as an up-and-coming band or any size band, to like to be on tour supporting a band that has fans, mm-hmm. because then you can acquire some of their fans, or
totally.
At least not acquire. I sound like a businessman, but like you can.
No,
like
I mean, share you're, in the you're fanship, found,
you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you're just playing all your shows and only your fans are going, you're never going to like this way. People are finding you.
Got to get the word out.
Yeah, exactly. Which is kind of why we do what we do, or why you do what you do.
Yeah. And that's why we're on the radio, right?
Right.
You know, we're like getting good music out there. You're helping out bands to get their, just spread the good word.
Yeah.
And you're also helping people, you know, not go insane on their commute from Butte.
Why would anyone go insane on the commute from Butte?
I don't know.
Weird.
I
usually you go insane in Butte. You go. Just kidding. I love Butte.
Me too.
Do you like Butte?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great, great place. They're hosting the Folk Fest this weekend. They have a big Folk Fest.
What?
That they do every week or every year. The weekend of July 11th and 12th. And it's one of the biggest ones in the country. But when I first went, I didn't realize it was World Folk.
So, oh, interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Not what you were expecting.
Not what I was expecting at all. Yeah, but it's cool. It's a really fun, free folk fest.
Does that bring like more diversity to the town of Butte during that weekend?
Interestingly enough, Butte is already a really diverse town. So I don't know if everyone just like leaves their house and goes to watch the music.
Yeah.
But yeah, the town definitely feels popping with all different kinds of people.
There's a friend of the band that, I don't think he lives there anymore, but was a Butte institution for a long time, named Pastor Tim Christensen. And he used to live
his
in Butte.
His last name is Christensen?
I know. What are the chances of that? I know. That's no cap. That's his last name.
Is that what the kids are saying these days?
I don't know. I don't have kids.
Oh.
I made that up.
Okay.
Should we start? Is that a thing?
I know. I think that you just invented that, so we're good. We'll roll with that.
Cool.
I'll be using it.
We're setting trends here on KGVM, morning radio. No, but, you know, speaking of our early days being brought into the grass community, like... there's a festival in the Pacific Northwest called Northwest String Summit, which celebrated 20 years a few years ago and then called it quits after that 20. But Tim was the MC of the weekend, Pastor Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And he is one of those guys that preaches all of the great, valuable lessons about caring for one another and treating people how you want to be treated, and like not being a piece of, can I say it?
No,
cool.
Not being, thank you for
not
asking.
Being a bad selfish person. Yeah. Well, in our short time here on earth. Anyway, he's a man of God in the best way, and he's a great friend of the band. And when I think of Butte, I think of Pastor Tim.
Yeah, it is. It's a really great place full of amazing people. Every time I go up there, I meet really, really special folks. But going back to kind of like where you guys all, so you originated in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Were you all just there for school? Like what were you doing there?
Yeah. So I moved to Portland in 2005, kind of to go to school, but mostly just to move out of my parents' house in Southern California.
Where in Southern California?
Vista, California, which is San Diego County.
Okay.
It's all the way down there.
Yeah.
Beautiful
area.
Beautiful area. Very expensive to live for a 19-year-old.
Totally.
And at the time, Portland was the opposite. No, not opposite in beauty. Also very beautiful, but so stinking cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
which is what drew a lot of us out there originally, because it was beautiful, cheap, and had a like very fertile music scene.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of moved up there to enjoy those things and try and
by find... yourself.
I moved up there with a couple buddies from SoCal, but none of the band.
Okay.
And yeah, I met Mimi because she was friends with my next door neighbors, and my next door neighbors went to Lewis and Clark College. Mimi went there, and we became friends. And Jay, the other songwriter in the band, Jacob, moved from Lewiston, Idaho, around mm-hmm. that same time for the same reason: cheap and music and opportunity.
One of my guest member, my first guest ever, his name is Colin Morlock. He went to high school with Jay. He was Yeah, he was asking me if Jay was the one coming on
oh,
the
dang
show,
it.
And I was like, I don't know. now I know, not Jay. But yeah, that. So he grew up in Lewiston.
Jay's my hotel roommate.
Oh, do you get to pick, or are you assigned?
I mean, I think we probably could pick, but we've been pretty steady in the roommate rotation. I think we found like who
you rotate, or
we did rotate for a while.
Okay, and then you found your niche.
for a long time. We'd all just get one room
And sleep on the floor,
and have like two people in each bed, and then people sleeping on the floor.
So interesting, because you know, I look at you guys and I'm like, oh, they're an established band. They have great amenities, but. You're still maybe sharing one hotel room.
We're staying in a Motel 6 on Friday night.
nothing wrong with that.
But no, we graduated from one room to three because we had the five band members and a front of house sound engineer. And so it's two people per room instead of five people in one room.
Which nice.
I mean, if that's not making it, I don't know
that's
what is.
That's a huge upgrade.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I had waffles.
You had waffles.
You know?
Not out of a 3D printer.
Like analog printed waffles.
Yeah. Will you get the brunch at Pine Creek tomorrow? Is that how that works? Do they feed you?
I don't think so. I think tomorrow's a special occasion because we have to get out there early because the next show has a pretty early load in. But I don't think we've done brunch there before. Usually we're there and we're on the road, and so we had to shove off early anyway.
Where are you going after Pine Creek?
I don't know.
Oh, you're just along for the ride.
I think Missoula's next. Let me just, you know, just for bleeps and giggles.
Just so that you guys can follow the band.
Yeah, I should have known this stuff going in. But
after
yeah.
you go to Pine Creek, and then you're going to want to follow them.
Pine Creek is tonight. Tomorrow is the Wilma in Missoula.
So fun. Have you played there before?
No. We're finally playing the Wilma.
So cool.
For the longest time, we played at the Top Hat for years and years. And then they kind of stopped doing shows. I think they're doing shows again. That's neither here nor there. We're playing the Wilma. We'll have the Coffis Brothers there. We'll also have Andy Dunnigan playing from the band Little Smokies, if you recall. Montana's finest band in my eyes.
Oh.
They stopped touring a couple years back here, but Andy's an amazing dobro player and an incredible singer, and so he's going to be sitting in with us that night.
Cool. Yeah. So fun. Okay, well, between Pine Creek and Missoula, there are lots of great places to get breakfast. Hopefully you won't be eating a continental breakfast the entire time.
Yeah, but it could be worse.
It could be worse. It could be way worse.
Yeah.
Do you want to... You guys have a record coming out.
Oh, yeah.
The song that we played to kind of introduce the show was called Oh Well. That's off your new record.
Yes, ma'am.
That's not out yet.
August 28th, the record's out.
August 28th. Do you want to play another song, the other one that's released?
Heck yeah.
Just to get some...
Oh. Yeah, and for those of you out there listening, that first song was called Oh Well. It's available on all the digital streaming platforms, or you can just tune into KGVM, and I think they've been getting it some spins. But that's a cool groove-tastic tune written by our guy, Jacob Anderson, who's one of the main songwriters of the band. He also plays pedal steel while singing when we recorded that song, so an incredible feat.
He's also Kellen's roommate
when
they're on tour. All right, next song we're going to play is Reason to Live.
Thank you. makes it all alright. Driving drunk and reckless in the morning light, headed for a big brick wall. And you, my dear, you're not like anyone. You burned out all the shadows when the lights got dim. And you're the truth, you're the only one. I was set to sink until you pulled me back in. And you gave me all your love and a reason to thank you for what you've done. All my tears are happy, all my fears are gone. I will be sleeping when you finally wake up. Do with me just what you will. You, my dear, you're not like anyone. You burn out all the shadows when the lights got dim.
Right, that was Reason to Live off their new record called
Something More.
Something More. And what number record is that for you?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
No clue.
Crazy. Well, did you start off doing, like, when did you guys first decide we're going to move from just playing, what were you all playing in college kind of in Portland?
The formation of our band was kind of our college years.
Yeah, whether you were in college or not.
Yeah.
So were you just playing like house shows?
We were playing a lot of house parties and bars, but mostly we were playing on the street.
Busking?
We kind of owe our whole thing to busking.
No way.
Yeah.
How many of you?
So there's five now, but it was just strings for the first few years. It was, you know, two guitars, a mandolin, and an upright bass. And our main way of going through the world was finding a popular street corner and busking. In Portland, we would just do that on the daily and make, you know, enough money to get beer and cigs and pizza and maybe like pay towards our collective rent in our tiny house that we're all sharing.
Yeah. So you all moved in together.
At a point we did all live together.
Cool. Yeah. In fact, how long did that stage of the band kind of last for?
A couple years.
Yeah.
But the first year in particular, we would just drive. When we started touring, quote unquote touring, we would just drive to cities on the West Coast and once again just like set up shop on a busy street corner and, you know, make money that way and then also make connections that way, because people would be like, hey, come play at my bar tonight, or hey, come play at our, you know, house party at the dorms or whatever, and like just kind of like would start to grow our network that way. And eventually that led to more established venues taking us on and other bands taking us on tour. It led to us meeting our manager Josh, who you've spoken to. We met him while we were busking on the streets of Austin during South
by
Southwest.
Was he already managing, or was he just like, I love you guys, I want to manage you?
He already was an established label manager and artist manager.
For Lucky Man?
Is that Lucky the... Man Management is his management company. He also is the general manager of Brushfire Records.
Oh, okay. Good for him. Oh,
yeah, good for him, right?
Yeah, good for him. And you for being managed by him.
Yeah, it's good to have people that know their stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, eventually, you know, we, not that eventually, within the first couple of years, we started playing with the drummer, Tyler, who's the drummer still now. And even before we had a drummer, we were more of a rock band without a drummer than we were a string band.
Yeah, I love the diversity of your band. Like, even when I was just listening to the live set from Mission Ballroom, it's, you're not a jam band.
No.
Which I love. But you're same. Not, you're like indie rock, kind of, if yeah. you had to label the genre.
Yeah.
But I also think it's cool that you don't necessarily fit into a genre, and you guys just have your own sound, and
totally.
That sound is awesome.
Yeah, and that's been, you know, that's a blessing and a curse. I think that, like,
hard to get gigs sometimes.
It's hard to, for a long time, we didn't want to get pigeonholed
yeah.
or, like, too classified. And then after a while, you realize that, like, the real way to move up is to, like, figure out your niche. And
because, like, then you can brand yourself.
Brand yourself, like, and exploit this. That. And get on the X playlist or the whatever radio hour. And
mm-hmm.
But we always kind of, like, prided ourselves, whether it was foolish or not, we always prided ourselves on not really being definable. And
yeah.
part of that comes from having three different singers, songwriters. And
do you
and
all
just
write,
like,
together, or do you write separately and then bring your songs together?
It's a little combination of both.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes we're bringing fully realized songs to the table and being like, okay, I want the drums to sound like this, and here's where the harmonies go.
Yeah.
And other times it's like, hey, I have this one chord progression. Can we make it into a song together?
Yeah.
And as we've gotten older, there's been a lot more collaborative songwriting. I think when you're younger and maybe your ego is guiding you towards wanting the thing to be your thing.
Mm-hmm. I wrote this.
This is my song.
Yeah,
and
do it then, the way I want.
Yeah, after a while, you kind of let go of that and try and figure out what would best serve the song.
Totally.
And sometimes that's bringing other creative minds into it and getting, like, a greater than the sum of its parts situation.
I think that's the beautiful thing about being in a band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or it seems like, I don't know, I'm not in one, but.
But being in a band like ours, like, you know, every band's different. Some bands really are just like, this guy's the songwriter and the musical director, and, like, this is where it's my show.
Yeah.
You guys are just the musicians in it.
And yeah.
then bands like us that are original bands, and we're like a five-way democracy of how we make decisions, both mm-hmm. creatively and businessly.
You're all equal parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and that's kind of a rarity. And it comes with its own sets of challenges.
But it also shines through in your music. Like,
yeah.
you guys are, you're really tight, and your sound is so unique and so, it just kind of goes on a scale. It hits a scale in a lot of different points
yeah.
because of how many personalities are contributing to the band.
Yeah, yeah. And I like to think that although it's a diverse kind of sonic palette, it's not all over the place.
No.
It's still, like, it's still tied together
yeah.
In a way that makes cohesive sense.
Yeah.
And I think that's something we can be proud of.
Totally. So who came up with the name? Is that one guy, or where did
actually,
you get fruition from?
Actually, we give credit to that to Mimi, who's one of the songwriters in the band, Mimi Naja, who plays mandolin, acoustic, and electric guitars, bongo sometimes, shaker, tambo. Anyway, sorry, I forget
the
myself.
The list goes on.
The list goes on. In Portland, she had started doing some shows under the name, like, Mimi Naja's Fruition. And I even remember her texting us and being like, this is a dope name for a band. And her and our buddy Rowan from Portland were, like, doing some duo gigs under that moniker. And then when we started playing together a bunch, we kept rolling with that name. And at first it was called Mimi Naja's Fruition for, like, the first show.
Oh, no way.
Because it was, like, her own thing. She had been calling that, and then it's like, oh, let's use that instead of, you know, let's take
did
that.
You have a name prior?
No.
Oh.
No, so then we were fruition.
It was just like, get that band on the street to come play here.
Yeah. We were fruition string band for a time, and then we got the good advice to drop the string band part. And this was before we even had a drummer, but we got good advice to, like, get rid of the string band. Because it just opens things up. It doesn't, like, put you in a corner
yeah.
as far as marketing yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people, maybe myself included, would see a band that's called, like, so-and-so string band and be like,
I don't know.
I'm not going to.
Totally.
Yeah, I'm good.
Well, and I think it was smart to do that because you're not really just a string band at all.
Oh, heavens no.
Yeah, you're a rock band in a lot of ways.
Hell yeah.
Do you guys, I'll save that question. That's for off the air. But I wanted to, what is your role in the band? Did we already go over that?
No, I guess not.
Because you're saying that there's three singers and I just wanted to, where do you come in?
I'm one of three songwriters and singers in the band. I play the keyboards and the acoustic guitar.
Okay.
I know, which like...
I dropped the ball.
In an alternate dimension, I'm sitting here playing that guitar right now, but it's
Do you write originals on your acoustic guitar?
Mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly I write on guitar.
But do you ever like let's say you're off season with the band, which about how many months of the year are you with the band?
It's hard to quantify that way. I think in the last few years, we haven't toured as much. So it's probably like, I don't know, a third of the year we're on the road.
Okay. And then the other two thirds, are you kind of like, I'm burnt out from music, don't want to play, are you're playing?
No, I'm playing.
You're playing guitar.
Yeah.
And you're writing stuff.
Yeah.
Are you ever going to put out a solo record?
Yes.
Really?
That is my, a big plan for the next, year.
That's so exciting.
It's been a long time coming.
Okay. So this is kind of like what you've been wanting to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we've been a band for a long time. Everyone's got a lot going on. We have multiple kids in our band. Mm-hmm. Now we live very far apart from each other. And everyone, you know, in this late stage capitalist world that we live in, can't just make a living from being on the road for a third of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so both creatively and spiritually and financially, it's just, it makes sense to always be writing, always be recording, and always be playing shows. If you're like me, that's just like you're music motivated.
That's what you do.
I'm an artist. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Truly.
That's the common theme with pretty much everyone I've had on the show so far has said that. They're like, and I've asked the question, what would you be doing if you didn't play guitar? And they're like, I don't know. Like, they can't even comprehend what life would be like. Because I think when you have that passion in you, that's just like all you can really
It's do. Interesting. I like find myself romanticizing like having a more structured job life.
Totally.
even to the full on like exaggerated office space, like being in a cubicle and having conversations at the water cooler and wearing a tie.
Like, do you fantasize about that when you're on tour, like sleeping in a tour bus, or when you're at home?
Girl, I wish I was sleeping in a tour bus.
Okay. Right, on the floor of the Motel 6, I meant. That's what I meant to say. Next to Jay.
Yeah, just snuggled up. I think
hopefully
I
fantasize, doesn't snore.
Like, it's so, the music industry especially, but every industry as the years go by, the wages have stagnated and the cost of being alive in America continues to exponentially go up. And when you're working essentially in the gig economy of being a touring musician, the deals are different every night. The money that you make from streaming and whatever other avenues isn't what it used to be. And like living that paycheck to paycheck life is scary. And so when I say I romanticize like having a jobby, I think I romanticize like having health benefits and like a biweekly paycheck and whatever PTO and like this stuff. And whenever I say it, whenever I bring that up to friends who like actually have corporate jobs, like, don't you ever say that again, like, Kellen Aisberg, I will end you.
Yeah. They're like, your life is so sick.
Yeah. It's a give and take, you know.
I was actually going to ask, like, what do you feel like you've sacrificed being in a band for 18 years? Hmm. Like how have you, I mean, it sounds like your band members that have kids probably sacrificed a lot of time,
I mean, we're all, save for a couple of us, we're all in our 40s now and started this thing when we were in our young 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we thought about it at the time as sacrificing things because we were experiencing so much cool stuff that, you know, 90% of the world doesn't get to do.
Yeah.
As far as seeing the country, seeing the world, like playing internationally, like making art with your friends and having people pay you to do that.
You're like, it's
and then
so
having
novel.
People sing and dance and like
actually walk, like your like, music
walk down the aisle to your song, like these like incredible things. So it's like you don't really realize what you're sacrificing in the sense of having a normal home life, I think, especially in the first 10 or 15 years of the band, where we were touring and playing 150 plus shows a year.
Do you feel like the noise from that has kind of calmed down, and now are you just kind of like plateauing, not plateauing as a band, but like in how it affects your nervous system, let's say, like is it kind of just like baseline, like this is what you do, rather than that loud excitement?
Yeah, I think that's a that's a great question. I think that over the years, and especially post, I hate to keep saying the word, but especially post pandemic, where we like we're forced to have a kind of reevaluation, come to Jesus moment. Everyone in every industry, but especially the live creative industry, was kind of like, oh, so this is what it's like to be at home and like have a garden and like, you know, get to know my community and like be involved in the
slow down
and like, oh, this is what that's like. I think that moving forward after that, it's been an experiment in figuring out how to do that, like how to have a more grounded life. Than the like flying by the seat of your pants, sleeping on the hotel room floor, eating gas station breakfast,
waffles.
I think that I can't remember what really the question was.
Well, just like the kind of noise of being like touring sounds like it was the main event of your life.
Yeah,
and now it sounds like you guys have all kind of gone into different pockets of your life, but
totally.
You still tour.
Yeah.
So it's like you're balancing both more so than when before it was maybe just kind of the loudness of touring.
Right. Before it was, it was just tour is life.
And then it kind of sounds like now you guys have all given yourselves to other parts of your life that maybe back then you were like, we don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have time for girlfriends or whatever.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. So there is more balance. And even that balance comes with sacrifices, because in order to like really get a leg up in this like very competitive and super unreliable music industry world, you have to be grinding. And like you have to be touring nonstop, and you have to be cranking out content. You like have to like really like.
But is it worth it?
And then so it's a sacrifice to the momentum of a band to not always be touring and to have the family life and to like have a little more like balanced and healthy mentally, physically, and spiritually life. And so yeah, we're like kind of like juggling that at the moment, and
what would your advice be to a band that's kind of coming up and is where you guys were at maybe in like 2010?
That's an interesting question, because the world changes so much, and the industry and the world has changed so much just even since 2010.
Right. It's so different. Like making a name for yourself.
Yeah. We were not
such different things.
Worried about
social
content.
Media, right,
like,
totally.
I sound like a geezer saying that, but like,
no, it's true.
Our first
like...
website was a MySpace page, and we didn't have to think about that. We were like solely getting along on the merits of playing good music and making crowds move, and like making art that was resonating with people. And I think that is the baseline that will actually carry over through all the noise of social media and algorithms and stuff. Is make good art, believe in the art. If you believe in the art that you're making, you believe in your heart of hearts that it's good, then other people will too. And like no amount of...
Don't be a sellout, basically.
Yeah, well, that's another story, because like, get that money. But like...
Yeah, but like, do it with integrity.
With integrity and authenticity. And I think that shines through more than a cleverly edited viral video, although...
Yeah, it's interesting. It does, but it's interesting because there's definitely the... kind of idea that now with everything that we have with the online platforms, it would almost seem easier to get your name out there.
Right.
But do you think it was easier back then because there wasn't all that noise?
I think it was easier then.
I do too.
I mean, it's
hard for me to say, but I can see how having that pressure of making like the perfect video that gets a bunch of views.
Yeah.
In order to have to do that, it just like would deteriorate people, one. And two, it's so competitive. There's so much content out there.
So many people doing it. And the chances of like actually striking a viral, you know, vein are so small. I think for us, especially in Portland, in the world at that time, like no one was really out there singing three-part harmonies on the street corner. And so like we had a unique in and like had something else that no one was offering.
Yeah. And even if someone else was doing that and let's say like, I don't know, St. Louis or wherever, Chicago, you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And so you can really hone in on what's in front of you rather than always be looking outward for what's out there.
No doubt. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'd be easier back then. I think you guys kind of got in at one of the sweet spots because it was like you could use social media if you wanted to once you started to get bigger because it had just come out and it was becoming a thing, but you didn't need it.
Yeah, and I think that all these things move in cycles. I think that the power of grassroots organizing in so many different avenues of social life, but in musically specific and art specific, like word of mouth, grassroots, physical art, physical media, as far as records, CDs, tapes and stuff. I think that like because what we've been talking about, how noisy and how cluttered the online space is. And now with, you know, the whole, and I don't need to get into it, but with all the AI and generative AI and stuff that's even further like muddying these waters of artistic integrity, like grassroots, live, physical media, that's the stuff that like actually carries weight and will stick around.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I had advice, I think it would still be to make great art and be out there talking to real people and playing real shows.
Yeah.
And try not to be chronically online because it's not real.
Totally. We're just going to get in a little ad for the station because KGVM is just supported by all these awesome sponsors. So we want to shout them out a little bit. This is the Listening Room on KGVM Bozeman 95.9. And we're here with Kellen from Fruition. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
KGVM thanks Wild Joe's Coffee Spot for their support. Wild Joe's is located at 14 West Main Street across from the historic Ellen Theater in downtown Bozeman. Wild Joe's brings you coffee from around the world and features a rotating display of local artists, live music weekly, and Slayer espresso in a warm atmosphere. See more at their website, wildjoescoffee.com. KGVM is thankful for the support of Country Bookshelf, Bozeman's locally owned independent bookstore since 1957. Country Bookshelf at 28 West Main Street in downtown Bozeman offers a wide selection of books as well as special events like author readings, book clubs, reading challenges, and the popular Country Bookshelf staff picks. Country Bookshelf is open 7 days a week, and there's more information online at countrybookshelf.com.
And we're back. This is KGVM Listener Supported Radio, Bozeman. This is Kellen Acebrook here talking with Loren. I don't know her last name. Who's the one that actually works here?
Hi, guys. Sweet hereafter. I'm not saying my last name on here. It's a long one.
That's fair.
It's DeQuadra. It's kind of hard to pronounce. But
it's a beautiful name. Is it Italian?
It is. Yeah.
I have a weird to pronounce and hard to spell last name, so I understand.
What's yours?
Acebrook.
Acebrook. But that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, but it's spelled Acebrook.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little... It's weird. People probably messed that up in school, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. First and
but
last.
At least you were in the front of the line. You know, you're
it's
an
true.
A.
That's absolutely a great point.
That's really all that matters.
During the break, we were talking about whether we should just keep chit-chatting or play another Fruition song, and I'm having Loren pull up a song from an album that we put out. Oh, yeah, there's two versions of the song. Do the non-dub version. But we're just talking about, you know, if you've been tuned in, Fruition's been a band for 18 years, and we've covered a lot of sonic ground from string band territory to indie rock, psychedelic, you know, ballads, and even into the kind of like spacey dub world. And I'm having her pull up a track.
No, I'm kidding.
I know this is the Americana show, not the reggae show.
No, I'm kidding.
And this isn't.
We love the diversity.
Yeah, but really yeah, I had her pull this one up. This is one I wrote that we put out right before the pandemic, and we actually put out two versions of.
There
this
is
song.
A dub version.
There's a dub.
Is that like a little bit more electronic-y?
No, it's dubbed out in the traditional sense of like, you know, King Tubby or Augustus Pablo, who would take the studio tracks and then just bend them, you know, add reverb here, like mute the vocals here, solo the vocals here, and just like make it a more spacey, spaced out experience.
Gotcha.
And the reason we made a dub version of the song that you're about to hear, we're going to play the regular version.
Because we like that.
Because it's just a little longer and has a little more... makes more cohesive sense. But when you're putting albums out on streamers, if you have a certain amount of tracks, they're still just counted as a single instead of an EP or an album. And so we were getting ready to put out this EP and it didn't have enough tracks to be called an EP. So then it was just going to get sorted on our page as a single. Anyway, blah, 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 stupid bureaucratic red tape. Mm-hmm. Spotify is the worst.
Things you don't even think about as a listener
and
that
so,
the musicians have to deal with.
And so a couple of us stayed up late one night.
And dubbed it out.
And we, you know, I won't say what we ingested or partook in to get into the right mindset of making a dubbed out Fruition track, but we did. And yeah, it was out of utility and it ended up being one of my favorite things we've done. So we're going to play the non-dub version. You can find the dubbed version on all your favorite streaming platforms. This song is called Sweet Hereafter by Fruition.
Thank you, Kellen.
Or is it?
Why isn't it playing? Oh, you know what?
Can swim. I got in. Got in too deep. Sun dipped down and I cannot see. Way out here saying, honey, you can swim. But I just wanna sink. I don't wanna think about it. I don't wanna think about it. Underwater. Out of the blue. Just let me drown underneath the moon. Fully consumed. Ask me if I know what I'm doing. Honey, I wrote the book. I see you when I'm looking at you. I see you when I'm looking at you. Yeah. I see you when I'm looking at you. I've been looking for sweet hereafter. see you when I'm looking at you. I've been looking for sweet hereafter. I see you when I'm looking at you. I've been looking for sweet hereafter.
All right, we're back. That was
Sweet Hereafter by Fruition.
Sweet Hereafter by Fruition. We have about 3 minutes left, unfortunately. This went by so fast.
Totally.
I thought we needed an acoustic guitar, but we don't.
I know. If they showed up now, we'd be like, sorry.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I don't know. I just kind of blacked out.
I know. I mean, I feel like an hour is long, but it's really not. Not when you're talking.
No.
I can talk forever. So you're going to be at Pine Creek tonight, just to recap where you're going to be.
Yes, one of the best venues in the country.
Ever.
Yeah.
You're going to Missoula tomorrow, mm-hmm. another great venue, the Wilma.
Yep.
And then are you guys on a tour, or are you just hanging out?
We're kind of on an off-again tour for the rest. Did I say off-again twice?
I'm not.
On-again, off-again tour.
The Diet Pepsi's hitting, so I don't know.
Yeah, dude, this ginger ale is coursing through my veins.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any caffeine. Damn it.
He picked the wrong one.
But yeah, we're kind of on and off again on the road for the rest of the summer and through the end of the year, kind of doing like week-long stuff or weekend stuff. Just kind of promoting this new album. The singles, we got another single coming out in a couple weeks.
Okay.
And then the album comes out on August 28th.
August 28th, mark your calendars. It'll be on Spotify, Apple Music.
All that.
All the good stuff.
All of that. We highly recommend purchasing physical copies because...
Love to do that.
A, they're cooler. They sound better. It's cool to be able to have and to hold a physical piece of media because we have the lyrics and artwork that we really spend a lot of time crafting. And when the... internet inevitably explodes or implodes and you don't have access to your Spotify library anymore,
you will have your CDs.
You'll have your CDs and your records.
And if your car doesn't have a CD player anymore, you can always go to your local pawn shop and buy a radio.
Absolutely.
Because they don't make cars with CD players anymore. It's crazy.
That's very sad. We do still make CDs. In fact, on our last album, we also put out a cassette tape version.
Awesome. Do you have vinyl too?
Yep. Vinyl is kind of our main thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vinyls, any kind of physical form, make sure to buy it. Make sure to see Fruition. Make sure to listen to their stuff. They're an awesome band. As you can tell, they have a wide range. Kellen, we're so excited that you came on the show today. KGVM is unbelievably happy to have you. We hope your show goes awesome tonight.
Thank you.
This has been The Listening Room, 95.9 KGVM, 10 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.